Greetings, brethren, and happy Sabbath to everybody here and to everybody who will hear this tape later on. I want to talk about a subject today that I've been wanting to talk about for a while, and I've said I was. I have given studies on this before, but I never actually taped it. And it's concerning the name of the Creator. And right off the bat, I want to say that what my study or my sermon today primarily is going to go over is not how to put your lips together to pronounce a certain syllable to say the name in a certain way, although that's what the whole point of it is. I'm going to leave that up to you, and that's going to be your homework, so to speak, after the sermon is over. But what I really want to go in today is I want to show the importance of the name of Yah, or Yahweh, or, you know, the Father and the Son, the importance of the family name that they have for us. If we go to Deuteronomy 28, I want to start over there. Because I could say in all my years, and it's getting close to 20 years in the church now, it's about, I guess, 18 years or so as part of the body, I don't know if I've ever hit a more divisive subject or a more condemning subject than the name, than Yah's name. And I don't know why. I never was able to figure it out. I know when I was in part of Worldwide Church of God, they did not use the sacred names at all. I never really heard much about it. And I started to study it once I came out of there. And I'm going to go over a lot of information today that I came up with through my studies. But people, and again, I've never pushed using the sacred names on people. The way I feel is that I share information with people. I think if we're looking for truth, what today is I'm going to do is I'm going to share a lot of truths with you, and I'm also going to share a lot of things that you may have not known before that were lies. And then again, what you do with it is up to you. I never condemn anybody for what name they use for the Creator. I know a lot of people are in ignorance, and yet their hearts are right. I was baptized into the name of Jesus, and I don't feel I need to be rebaptized because I use the name Yeshua now. And again, I think God does primarily look on the heart. But at the same rate, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that leads us into all truth. And if something is more correct than something else, or if something is wrong, then we should be seeking truth on the matter. And like I said, I mean, I've seen people vehemently be against using the name. People have written me letters and say, telling me, do I think I'm more righteous because I use a certain name? And no, I don't. And that's why I've never pushed the name on people. But I am more than willing to share the information with people. And like I said, if we're seeking truth, we should want to be more correct than anything else. Another thing that's very interesting when it comes to the name is that as human beings, all of us have a name. Every one of us. I know this has happened to me before, and I bet it's happened to just about everybody that's heard this tape. At one time or another, somebody incorrectly used your name, or called you by a name that wasn't yours. And it makes you feel a little funny. Or maybe somebody forgot your name. Somebody that you knew, and you may have known them even for a while. And it's kind of an awkward situation, because when you meet somebody, it's no big deal to say, what's your name? But once you kind of build a relationship with that person, even if it's surface, if it's someone you know as you're walking down the street that owns the candy store, after a while, once you're friendly with somebody, it becomes awkward to say, by the way, what's your name? You almost feel embarrassed to ask a person their name before. This happened to me many times at church. You meet somebody and they tell you their name right away, but for whatever reason you don't remember. And as time goes on, you know the face and you know the person very well. You say hello to them every week, but you forgot their name. And it becomes awkward. And nobody likes their name forgotten. Absolutely nobody. I know with us, we travel a lot now, and the Lord has opened up doors to go to different countries. And some of the names are very hard to pronounce. And I know myself, I've mispronounced people's names a number of times. And they'll keep telling me, no, this is the way you say it, or no, this, you say it like this. And it's very close to the name, but it may be just a little bit off. Because everybody wants their name pronounced correctly. The same way I would want my name pronounced correctly. If my name is Don, I wouldn't want someone calling me Dan, or Dick, or Joe, or Bill. So if we could see that as human beings, and all of us have a name, and a matter of fact, if you look in the scriptures, every single person that the Father, the Elohim family worked with were named specifically. The name Moses means one drawn forth because he came out. Every single person's name has meaning. You know, Adam, you know, means man. So if everyone God created had a name and their name means something, then why would we think the Almighty, the one who's been around forever, the one who named everything, that his name has no meaning, or his name isn't important, or he knows what we mean when we call him by a certain name? That just makes no sense. See, like I said, today I'm not going to try to shove down anybody's throat, you have to pronounce this name this way. Again, there's much information on it. We know a brother from Texas who actually has written a book on the names. That's an excellent book. If anybody would want a copy, I'm sure he'd be willing to give it to you. Just write and we'll set that up. But my point is to show you that our Father, Yah, or Yahweh, has a name. And the name is important. It's very important. And we need to look at that name. And by an hour and 15-minute sermon, I cannot do justice at all to the name of the Almighty Creator. I can't even begin to scratch the surface. I could probably do a 5-tape conference just on the name. Matter of fact, when I was putting this together, there were just hundreds of scriptures that I just had to pick some to make a point without going through all of them. But again, almost like all the sermons I do, I try to just get underneath the surface to bring a subject and bring things out. And from there, by all means, I always say I'm never the last authority on anything. But take these things, study it on your own. Study it on your own and look into how important some of these things are. Let's start Deuteronomy 28:58. Deuteronomy 28:58. And it says, "If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, Yah, thy Elohim." This glorious, glorious and fearful name, he says, he calls it. And again, that name, the YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, is what we're talking about. Let's go to Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16 and verse 21. Jeremiah 16 and verse 21. "Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might. They shall know that my name is YHVH. They will know this once, and they will know my might, and that my name is YHVH. Well, what's in a name anyway? What's really in a name? Does a name mean anything? Well, name means a lot. Like I said, all of our names mean something. Everyone that Yah has worked through the ages, their name has meant something. There's meanings to names. Matter of fact, in the Hebrew language, we have a book called Hebrew Word Pictures. And do you know the alphabet in Hebrew comes from pictures? The Aleph, the first letter, the A, was originally a picture of an ox. And it became the letter of Aleph today, and in the English it became the letter A. But every letter was a picture. And there would be a picture of a man and a picture of a weapon, and that would be the word for enemy. A weaponed man is an enemy. And it's a really, really neat book. And to see all these things, because everything has meaning. Absolutely everything has meaning. And our Father and His Son, Yeshua, their name has meaning. The YHVH, it's a family name, and it has a lot of meaning. It means all existent. It means to exist on its own. And I'll tell you, there's nobody or nothing in this world that can exist on its own. There's absolutely nothing in this world that has no beginning and no end, except the Father and the Son. That's it. That's the only thing that is all existent, that is existing on its own. And there's great meaning to that. And when we call Elohim or God anything else but what He calls Himself, and there's many names to Him. He calls Himself, and we're going to see here, our Provider, you know, our Healer, our Banner. But His name primarily means to exist without meaning anything else. Let's go to Exodus 3 and start in verse 15. Exodus 3 and starting in verse 15. starting in verse 13, rather, I'm sorry. Exodus 3, starting in verse 13. And Moses said unto Elohim, Behold, when I come into the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And Elohim said moreover unto Moses, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial or my remembrance unto all generations. See that name, the I Am, that Yeshua. Go to John 8, 56, I believe, or 58, right in that area. When they said, you are not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham, what did he say? Before Abraham was, I am. Yeshua called himself the I Am, the one in the burning bush, the all-existent. And when I speak with Jehovah Witnesses and they try to say Yeshua was a created being, I'd say, well, maybe I can believe you if 14 times out of his own mouth in the four Gospels he didn't relate to himself as the I Am. 14 different references, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. He called himself the I Am, the all-existent, no beginning, no end. And it's the same way here. And he says that his name will be forever, and it will be a memorial to all generations. Why is it so important, though? Why is it so important? It's important because in a world we live in today, where there are thousands upon thousands of gods, Elohim. All Elohim is a title. It just means God. It's not a name. It's a title, which is fine to use. It's used in the Bible many, many times. But it's not a personal name. It's a title. But where there's so many of these gods, most of them false gods, all of them false gods except for the one true God, we have to be able to tell the difference between YHVH, the true God of the universe, the true creator of everything, and all the other false gods. When people ask me, because in America, almost everybody believes in Jesus and God. I mean, you do have other religions there, but for the most part, they consider themselves, quote-unquote, Christian nation. But when you go around the world, it's not so. I mean, in Israel, matter of fact, where we've been recently, the country itself doesn't believe in Yeshua. You got to be very cautious on what you say. We've been in places where we were speaking and people would come right out and say, one man, you believe in that false God, Jesus. And people, their ears raise up when they hear the name Jesus or Yeshua. They raise up real much, and you got to be real careful in a lot of these areas. And I tell people, when they ask, what God do you believe in? I say, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. YHVH, Yah or Yahweh. That's the God I believe in. I don't believe in Allah. Allah is not a God. I don't believe in Baal. Baal is not a God. I don't believe in any of the false gods of these nations. Vishnu. Would you name it. I don't believe in them as gods. I believe in one. One Elohim. YHVH. Yah or Yahweh. Made up of a father, Yahweh, and a son, Yahweh. And that's the only God that I believe in. Let's go to Exodus 9. Just go over a couple pages. Verse 15. Exodus 9 and verse 15. It says, For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, to show thee in my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. See, his name is supposed to be declared throughout all the earth. And who is going to declare it except his children? See, the Father is Yahweh, the Son is Yahweh, because Yeshua right now is the only begotten of the Father, and we are all conceived of the Holy Spirit, waiting to be born at the resurrection, at the return of Yeshua. And we also will bear the family name of the Father and of the Son. And it's important for us to declare that name, because you know what? When you think about a name, it talks about Proverbs, that a good name is better than fine ointment. You know, how good is your name? People say, you know, how good is your name or your reputation? And what your name is what you consist of. And that's what the name I am that I am, he consists of himself. He is all existent. And it's so important to realize that, that there is a lot in the name because it's what represents the name. And when we're using false names, then we're representing God in a way that's not him. We're going to get into that shortly. Again, what I want to say is the name itself, the YHVH, it's called the Tetragrammaton. Probably most of you have heard that term before, and it just means four, or the four letters, YHVH. And that name has been blessed forever. Let's go to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Starting in verse 17. Psalm 72 and verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be Yah Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Go to one more, Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 13. 135 and verse 13. Psalm 135 and verse 13. Thy name, O Yah, endures forever, and thy memorial, O Yah, throughout all generations. Now some people will tell you the name has been lost, or the name, we don't know what the name is. And he says here, the name lasts for all generations. And the name has not been lost. The name is very clear what his name is. And it's something that is to be declared by his children throughout all generations. And just to ask yourself, and like I said, a lot of times I try to come from a logical standpoint because I think that our Father and I think that Yeshua is are logical. And I don't think they do things illogical. I think mankind is illogical, and I think they do things illogical according to their heart and according to their own will instead of the Father's will, which is always toward peace and unity toward all. But if I started to give a sermon and I started to call God by the name Baal, or I started to call God by the name Allah, how would that make you feel if you were listening to the sermon? Wouldn't it make you feel a little uncomfortable? Actually, it would probably make you feel more than uncomfortable. You probably wouldn't even want to hear it anymore. Probably wouldn't want to hear anything I had to say anymore. Well, if that's the case, if I referred to God as Baal, or I referred to God as Allah, or I referred to God as Vishnu, you know, or maybe an Egyptian god, Osiris, if I were to do that and that would make you feel uncomfortable, then why wouldn't it make you feel uncomfortable to refer to God by other names that aren't his, that are false names of false gods? See, it should be the same thing. You know why? Because we're conditioned to use names like Lord, which is the same name as Baal, comes from the same root word, and we're going to get into that a little later. Or just use generic names, God, Eternal, which aren't wrong names. He is eternal. And he is Elohim. Elohim just means God. You don't have to use the name Elohim. Elohim is just the Hebrew word for God. But they're titles. They're not personal names. And if I were to refer to you all the time as either man or woman and never used your personal name, I think you would feel a little funny about it. It's the same way when we take the Eternal's name and we refer to it in a fashion that doesn't represent him. Let's go to Psalm 111. I want to show another aspect of this. Psalm 111, starting in verse 6. Psalm 111, starting in verse 6, it says, He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. And that word sure means intact forever and ever. You've probably heard me talk about this before, and probably many people hearing this tape have used this before to show people, you see, the commandments are forever. We have to obey the commandments. We got to keep the Sabbath day. They stand fast, verse 8, forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. And they are. That's why we keep the Sabbath day. Because there are 10 commandments, not 9, and they are forever. When something is forever, it doesn't end. The same way, though, I just read the scriptures to you, that his name is a memorial forever. Verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Now, very interesting. Like I said, we've used Psalm 111 many, many times to show people that they need to keep the Sabbath. But have you ever used Psalm 111 to show people the importance of his name? See, a lot of times, and I did a tape on the Ten Commandments, showing that the commandments are much deeper than what many may think, and most of us, if not all of us, break many of the commandments, if not most of the commandments, in a lot of different ways than we may think. I'll probably send that tape out one time or another. but like I said, we'll use this scripture to show people, yeah, we've got to keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, they're not 9 commandments, they're 10 commandments because of the Sabbath day, which is important. But you know something? How different is if we're not using the name of Elohim? Are we breaking the third commandment about taking his name in vain? And you know, I got a little booklet that says Sabbath keepers, are you keeping all the commandments? And you know what's funny? The same reasons people give for not keeping the Sabbath day out in the world are the same reasons that Sabbath keepers give for not using Yah's real name. You know, they'll say, well, no one would understand me if I used that name. Well, you know, hey, the whole world keeps Sunday, and they give both sides of both of it. And it is very hypocritical. It really is. If you're a Sabbath keeper, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but this is just the honest truth of the matter. If you are a Sabbath keeper, and you're staunch about keeping the Sabbath and obeying the Sabbath, and yet you're going to look at these scriptures that clearly taking his name in vain is just as important, if not more important, than the Sabbath day, and we're going to throw that one to the side and refer to the Creator by all kinds of titles and all kinds of names that aren't even scriptural or have been changed, and then we're going to say, well, hey, but you have to keep the Sabbath. You got to do it all, like James says. When you break one law, you break them all, and we don't want to be hypocrites. I remember one time when I was discussing Colossians 2 with somebody, and they were saying Colossians 2 says the Sabbath's done away with. I was saying Colossians 2 reaffirms that these are shadows of coming things. And the person made the comment to me, well, it says in meat and drink and the new moon, the holy days and Sabbaths. Do you keep the new moon? I thought about it for a minute and I said, well, no, I don't keep the new moon, but you know something, starting today, I will. See, it wasn't hard to convince me because I believe in the Word. And I believe that Colossians 2 reaffirms. It says these remain. That word are in Colossians 2 literally means they remain shadows of coming things. And if meats are still a shadow, and if the Sabbath is still a shadow, and if the holy days are still a shadow, then I guess new moons have to be a shadow too. As I started studying into it, I realized there's a lot more to new moons than you think. But now we also celebrate the new moon. We don't keep it as holy time because the Bible doesn't say it is holy time. But we keep it almost like that. You know, we'll take the day and we'll dedicate it and we'll, you know, observe the new moon and we celebrate it. We celebrate the new moon now because it says to celebrate the new moon. The same way here. If we are honest and we are commandment keepers, then we have to keep all the commandments. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, just for a minute. And one verse, verse 9. And this is the Lord's Prayer. You know, that the traditional Lord's Prayer, what they call it. But when the disciples asked Yeshua about praying, he said, after this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. You know what that means, to hallow something? Hallowed means literally to sanctify it. And like I said, the name is very, very similar with the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath, the seventh day, he set the Sabbath apart and sanctified it and made it holy because everything he did in those 6 days was good. And to show the holiness of Yah, he set this apart and rested, not because he was tired, but he created a rest on the seventh day. And that's why I tell people when they try to say the Sabbath is no longer the Sabbath, I said, wait a second, you got to realize something. The Sabbath is something that is created. You can't do away. Is the moon still in the sky? Is the sun still in the sky? Well, because they were created, they're still there. And like Romans 1, the invisible things, just because we can't see the Sabbath, that's why it's a matter of faith. But it was created, and if we believe that Yah created the heavens and the earth and all the things thereof in 6 days, then we rest the seventh day in honor, in reverence to Him. The same way, if we believe that He is who He is, the all-existent one, we should want to use His name that He reveals to us. It's not some kind of hard, hidden mystery. It's right here in Scripture. But I'll tell you why most people do not use the name. I'm going to get into it right now. The reason why they don't use the name is no matter what Bible you pick up, whether it's a King James, and I know the King James people want to say it's the only true, right, every word is right. Well, 6,823 times, whether it's a King James, an NIV, an American Standard, a Revised Standard, or any other Bible you can think of, except for maybe a couple of them, they take the name, the YHVH, out, and they replace it with the word Lord. Now let me just say right off the bat, it is blatant, absolutely blatantly wrong. The word YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, and whether you pronounce it Yah, Yahweh, Yehovah, whichever way you pronounce it, no way on earth could it come out to be Lord. Lord is a title. Lord grammatically has nothing to do with it. You might as well put in any name there. And they do sometimes. Some Bibles or people use the name Eternal because they know that the word Lord comes from the root word of Baal, and they don't want to use the word Baal. But you know something? Although He is eternal, and there's nothing wrong with using eternal, YHVH is a proper name. The name, the way my name is Don, the way my wife's name is Petra, and the way whoever is hearing this tape, or anybody else here, will know that a proper name is different than a title. It's absolutely different. We all have a proper name, and all our names mean something. And YHVH means something. It means to exist on its own, to be self-existent. And it is a proper name compared to a title. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with using a title, but our Father also, and His Son, also have proper names. And like I said, believe me when I say, I believe the King James is, as far as translations, probably the best of the translations that are out there, you know, that they sell in the stores. I use the interlinear most of the time because I think the interlinear is just, you know, the original Hebrew and Greek is going to be closer than anything. And the King James is a translation from my interlinear. The interlinear is the Masoretic text of the Old and the Textus Receptus of the New, and that's what the King James translates from. So you're always going to be closer if you have the original compared to a man translating it into something else. But the Tetragrammaton, the YHVH, it is a proper name that, now just get this straight, 6,823 times that name has been changed in your Bible. Now why don't people use the name? For that simple reason. Because it's been changed, because it's been taken out. The same reason people don't want to be different. People don't want to stand alone. The same reason why most people don't keep the Sabbath day. Because all of Christianity keeps Sunday. Why? For no apparent reason. There's no scripture that says Sunday, the Sabbath's been changed to Sunday. There's absolutely no scripture in your Bible that says Sunday was the day of rest in the New Testament. There's one scripture they go to in Acts 27 that says on the first day of the week they got together with the break bread. And if you look in the interlinear, it's not on the first day of the week. It's on and on one of the Sabbaths. The word is 4521 Sabbaton. So right off the bat, there is absolutely no scriptural evidence for keeping Sunday. Like I said, the one scripture they go to, Acts 20 and verse 7, in the King James or in any other Bible where it says the first day of the week, it literally in the interlinear is end on one of the Sabbaths. They got together to break bread. So because everybody is going one way, people don't want to stand alone because they don't have a real relationship with the Father. And you know, it's kind of interesting. How many people do you know in life that you have a really, really close relationship with without using their name? Think about it. Think about it with your wife if you never used your wife's name. Think about your children if you never called your children by their name. Think about your boss, your friends. How close can you be with somebody without ever using their name? And in this world today, if we're honest with ourselves, how many people have a real relationship with Yah the Father and with Yeshua the Son? How many? Hardly any. You know why?
because people are afraid to have a relationship. And because organizations and churches have been set up by men, they're set up by systems of men, and men have controlled the people, and they put a stumbling block before the people to keep them from having a relationship with the Father and the Son. Like I say, we've been in Israel in recent times here, and we see the churches there. Most of them are no different than in America anywhere else. It's the same kind of thing. Organizations, things set up, money basket going around during church, whole bunch of yelling and screaming and waving the hands, but no substance, absolutely no substance. And sad to say, you know, a lot of the people in the congregation, you could just see the same thing. No real relationship with the Father. No real understanding of the Scriptures. No real teachings. You know, we've heard sermons by people that should be a 5-minute sermon and have gone on for an hour just with a bunch of stories and jokes. Where is it going to? Where is it going to? But this is a very, very important point. 6,823 times, your word, your eternal Scriptures, your original inspired Scriptures from Elohim to whoever, Moses, Joshua, whoever is writing the book, has been changed 6,823 times. YHVH taken out and the word putting in is Lord. Let me just make one other point here. Well, let me go to Deuteronomy 4:2 first and just go to this scripture and then I'll make my point. Deuteronomy 4:2, just one scripture. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. Says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you. Right there. Revelation 22 says the same thing. Anyone who takes away from this the words of this book, their name will be blotted out of the book of life. So, 6,823 times, the name has been changed, has been taken out. And it says here not to take away from the word or add to the word. And you want to know something? This did not happen in olden times. They have the oldest manuscripts that were found. Some of them a couple of thousand years from the early church, and some of them even farther than that, 3,000 years ago. They have found early manuscripts, and where the name of the Creator was put in there, the YHVH, the original Tetragrammaton, the four letters, is there in gold. In the New Testament, the same thing. The name of Yeshua is put in there in gold letters. And it was kept. And in the New Testament, they did not use the word theos or kurios, which are Greek words, which again are pagan gods. Theos is a pagan god. You're not going to tell me Yeshua referred to his father as theos. And in the New Testament, the YHVH in Hebrew was kept intact in gold letters in the New Testament. And Yeshua, the name for Yeshua, in gold letters in the New Testament. In the oldest manuscripts. And I'm going to be doing a series pretty soon on the early church and what the early church was like and how they changed. But I'm telling you something, most of the changes and most of the things you see today came from the Vatican. Most of it came from there, from the second century and on. And we'll get into that later. But just keep that in mind, that the earliest manuscripts did have the name, and the Bible you're using today, it was changed 6,823 times. So how can that be right? How could that be correct? Let's go to Exodus 20. So I want to go back to the Ten Commandments now. And I want to show you something that maybe you have or maybe you haven't heard before, but it is very, very important. Because the Ten Commandments, against what many people say today, were not nailed to the cross. They are the only thing in the history of mankind that was written with the finger of Yah. They are the basis of love Yah with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And they are just as much intact today as they ever were. And as believers with the Holy Spirit and the law written in our heart, we should want to obey these with all our heart, mind, and soul. I will say we are not going to be judged by the Ten Commandments if we're under grace. We're judged in faith in Yeshua. But that does not give us a license to break these commandments. Because if we willfully sin after the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for sins. So again, the commandments, without a shadow of a doubt, should be kept today with a new heart and a new spirit And we should want to keep them by the spirit as well as the letter and be pleasing to our Father as much as possible. So let's go to Exodus 20 and verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy God in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." What does that mean? What does that mean? That you shall not take the name in vain. Have you ever looked that up? Have you ever looked up what in vain means? Well, I'm going to tell you right now what in vain means. Not to take Yah's name in vain. It means not to desecrate the name. Not to desecrate. Not to falsify. Not to be deceptive with. Not to change, eliminate, or use commonly. Let me go over this again. Not to desecrate. Not to falsify. Not to be deceptive with. Not to change, eliminate, or to use commonly. Now, let me ask you a question logically. If something is a proper name, YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, is taken out 6,823 times and changed with the name Lord, that comes from the word Baal, would you think that that's desecrating the holiness of the name of Yah? Would you think it's falsifying the name of Yah? Lord has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the YHVH, absolutely nothing. Do you think it's being deceptive with? They never tell you. They absolutely never tell you. It's interesting, even in my interlinear Bible, it says, one of the strangest and amazing things in the history of the Bible is the use of the change of the name. Because it's there, they all know it. And in the interlinear, they do use the sacred name. But in most Bibles, they still don't. Even though in all the technology we have, in all the different Bible schools and everything else, they still use the name Lord instead of the YHVH. What's so hard to put in those four letters? If you don't want to get into whether it's Jehovah or Yahweh or whatever, just put the YHVH. Everybody, there's nobody that's arguing with the four letters. It's the vowel points where the discussion may come in. So why not just put that in? You're writing it. Why, like they did in the olden days in gold, YHVH. Would you say it's being deceptive with? To put in a word that has the root of a false god, Baal? Absolutely. Would you say it's changing? Well, of course it's changing. Is it eliminating it? Yes. 6,823 times. You don't see the name once. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are five references to the name in the King James where they do use the name Yah or Jehovah. Is it using it commonly? Absolutely. Because when you take a personal name, YHVH, and take it out and use the name Eternal, or use the name Lord, or use the name God, or Elohim, like I said, it's not wrong in itself, but when you're taking a personal name and changing it, yes, then you're using it commonly. You're taking a holy thing and making it into a common name. Absolutely. So, by taking the name of our Creator 6,823 times and changing it, you are taking his name in vain. Absolutely, absolutely. And if there was ever a name in this world that was important, it's the Creator's name. Yeah, I always say my name, you might as well call me Mud. My name doesn't mean nothing because I'm nothing. It means something to the Father who named me, but I don't have importance of myself because the dust I am and the dust I will return. And there's only one way I'll have eternal life. It's by the one who created me, by him giving me that free gift. I can't give myself eternal life, but he exists on his own. There's 6 billion people in the world today. There's over 50 billion people that have lived in this world since Adam. He doesn't need any of those 50 billion to exist. He does it all on his own, all on his own. So like I said, read it again. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And that means to desecrate, to falsify, to be deceptive with, to change, eliminate, or to use commonly, which by taking the name YHVH and putting the name Lord, you do every one of them. Every one of them, 6,823 times. Leviticus 18, let's go to Leviticus 18. In 1 verse 21, Leviticus 18, 21. And you shall not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall you profane the name of thy Elohim, I am Yahweh. You shall not let your seed pass through the fire of the Molech, which 2 million babies a year being aborted pretty much fits that. Neither shall you profane the name of your Elohim, I am Yahweh. What does the word profane mean? What does it mean to profane? Well, it means to dissolve, to profane, to break one word, to wedge open, to make common. Same thing. Absolutely same thing. To dissolve. That's what you're doing. The word for profane is to wedge open. You know, to just get a little bit in there. Just even to change one letter would be profaning it. You're dissolving it. You're making it common, the same thing. Go one page over, Leviticus 19:12. Leviticus 19:12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of Elohim. I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. And every time you see the name Lord, like I said, just put in the YHVH because that's what it is. The word God or the word Elohim, although not wrong in itself, could refer to any God. It's generic. Elohim is a generic name. Just like man or woman. There can be true Elohims and false Elohims. Angels sometimes are referred to Elohim. Even Satan the devil in a couple of situations was referred to as an Elohim, a God. So there's true Elohims and there's false Elohims. Let's look at some of the names that Yah reveals himself to us. Let's go to Genesis 22. In verse 14. Genesis 22, in verse 14, one verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Nisi, as it was said to this day, in the mount of Yah it shall be seen. And Yah Nisi means Yah, my provider. Remember when Isaac, he was going to sacrifice Isaac, and he found the ram over there, and he said that Yah was his provider. Exodus 17 in verse 15, one verse again. Exodus 17 in verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh Nisi, which means Yah is my banner. Yah is my banner. There's many different names that were called. Do you know another thing? Almost all of the prophets, if you look into the Hebrew names, had the name Yah. Elijah, the name is Eliyahu. Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu. Almost every name of the people of Yah had his name in their name. And they all had meaning to them. You know? They all had meaning of them. Friend of Yah. Warrior of Yah, you know, different names. Even the angels had names like that. Let's go to Exodus 6. Go back a few pages here to Exodus 6. And I hope you're starting to see right now that names are important, that names mean something. Every name has meaning, no matter what it is, good or bad. And more than ever, the name of our Creator means something. Exodus 6 in verse 2 says, and Elohim spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yah, or Yahweh. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of Elohim Almighty. By the name of Elohim Almighty. But by my name, Yah, was I not known to them. Isn't this kind of interesting? What an honor it was for the Israelites to know the true name of the Creator. See, he said that he appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of Elohim Almighty, El Shaddai. But by his true name, Yah or Yahweh, was I not known to them. So if he revealed this name to Moses and the children of Israel, can you imagine if they said, well, that's fine and good, but we're going to call you this. We're going to call you Baal. We're going to call you Lord. We're going to call you this. It doesn't work that way. I mean, what an honor. What... do you remember on Mount Sinai that Moses had to take his sandals off because just to be in the presence of that bush, it made it holy? How holy is that name? It was so holy that that's why, in some respect, the pronunciation of the name got lost. Because the Israelites were so afraid of taking that name in vain that they were afraid to even pronounce it. They were absolutely afraid to pronounce it. And today, they use the name Hashem, which means the name. That's all it means. But when you say Hashem, they know you're talking about Elohim or Yah. They're still afraid to say the name because it is so holy, that name. And to take that name and throw it to the side and say, it's not important. God knows what I'm talking about. It's short-sighted. It's absolutely ignorant to think that way because that name is holy. It's absolutely holy, and there's a lot of meaning to that name. Let's go to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 in one verse, verse 6. Isaiah 56 in verse 6. It says, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yah to serve him and to love the name of Yah, to be his servants, everyone that keeps Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Do we love the name? Do we love his name? Are we honored that he has revealed that name to us? Do we absolutely love the name? Are we honored that he revealed it to us? Or are we just thinking, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Let's go to Psalms 5 and verse 11. Psalms 5 and verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Do you love it? Do you love the fact, do you cherish the fact that this has been revealed to you? Let's go to Psalm 69. Or, do you have the attitude like a lot of people, it doesn't matter. God knows the difference. God knows our hearts. But then when someone says that about Sabbath keeping, when they'll say, do you really think that God cares if I worship him on Saturday or Sunday? Or, I worship God every day. We've heard all the answers before. We heard all the questions. And we know that there is holy time. And we know that he set apart. Sunset Friday to sunset Saturday is holy time. So why is it so hard to see that he has a name? That should be something that's logical. Psalm 69, verse 34. Psalm 69, verse 34. Let the heavens and the earth praise him, and the seas and everything that moves therein. For Elohim will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it as a possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. How much do we love his law? How much do we love his word? Or are we going to be like all the other people in the world, just trying to do away with everything? Just trying with every breath to see the least we can do to get into the kingdom of God. That's what it comes down to. People want to do the least possible. That's Satan's system. Satan's system is to get the most amount of return for the least amount of effort. And God's system is the opposite. Let who wants to be greatest among you be the servant. We want to serve the best and do the most we can. And then trust in our Heavenly Father and His Son Yeshua for our reward. And let Him reward us justly. Let's go to Amos, the fifth chapter. Amos 5. One verse, verse 8. Amos 5 and verse 8. It says, seek him that makes the seven stars and Orion, and turns the shadow of death into the morning, and makes the day dark with night. That calls for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. Yah is his name. Yah is his name, the creator. He is the master of Shabbat. Because he is the creator of all things. Let's go to Psalm 83. And like I said, you could continue this study when we're done because it would take me about 3 hours just to go over the scriptures that talk about praising his name and loving his name and glorifying his name. And I'm just going over some of them here. But there are so many of them. Please continue on your own and search into this. Psalm 83 verse 16 says, fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Yah. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahweh, are the most high over all the earth. His name alone. That is his name. That is his name that he has revealed himself to us throughout the ages forever. And like I was saying, the Lord, the word for Lord, and again, if you've got a concordance, you can look this up. The word for Lord means master, the same root word as the word for Baal. If you look up the word Baal, you'll see that Baal means master or husband. That's what Baal means, and we all know about Baal and sun worship and the false god Baal. But again, it is a generic name, Lord. It is a title that comes from the direct same root as the word Baal. And let's go to Hosea 2. I want to go to one scripture here just to show you that this is not something that's pleasing to our Father, to call him by a name that also refers to the false god Baal. Hosea 2, and I'm going to start in verse 14. Hosea, the second chapter, and starting in verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And again, what have we talked about in recent months about our wilderness journey? See, the wilderness is not about condemning. The wilderness is about teaching. And I'm not here to condemn anybody who's been using any name or whatever up to now. What I'm here to do is to share truth with you. And the things I'm telling you are facts. They're facts. Look up the word Baal. Look up the word Lord. See where these things come from. Get an interlinear Bible and look up 6,823 times where the tetragrammaton is there that they change it to the name Lord, where the word Baal comes from. These are facts. These are not opinions. This is not me shoving down your throat trying to get you to say something or do something a certain way. They're just facts. They're just truth. One is truth and one is error. And listen to what he says here, verse 14. To the wilderness. He's bringing into the wilderness to speak comfortably unto us, to show us these truths. And I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yah, that you shall no more call me Ishi, and you shall call me no more Baal. For I will take away the names of Baal out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Right there he's saying it. That when he brings his people to the wilderness, maybe before we did it in ignorance, I did it for years. My heart was right. And I don't feel that God was judging me for it because I never knew the difference. But now that he's shown me right from wrong, what am I going to do? Because people are going to think I'm weird if I use the name Yah or Yahweh. Am I going to not use that name because I don't want to seem different? Or am I going to do what I know is right because I know who my Creator is and I know who my Savior is? Let's go to Psalm 54, 6. Psalm 54 and verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Yah, for it is good. These are just some scriptures about praising his name. Psalm 61 in verse 8. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 66 and verse 2. Say unto Elohim, how terrible art thou in thy works. Though the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. That's verse 3. Verse 2. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. When we sing, are we really praising to our Father? You know, like I said, we've seen in different churches and even in Israel, people that you get together and boy, they'd say, we really know how to praise. And they get up there and they can dance and sing and wave their hands everywhere. And you know something? They don't even know what they're doing. They think that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of them will rattle off and making believe that they're doing some kind of tongue that's only out of their own heart. And yet, who are they praising? Who are they praising? If we are going to give praise to the Creator, can't we at least even have the respect to use the name that He gave us? Instead of making names up or using names that mankind has given us that are incorrect or wrong? I mean, let's get real about it. Dancing around and singing and saying ratata in an unknown tongue, that's not spiritual. Spiritual is having the Word of God cut my heart in two, convicting me that I need to repent and changing and wanting to get as close to my Heavenly Father and His Son as I can by seeking Him in spirit and in truth. And when he shows me truth, not letting my pride get in the way, not letting my feelings get in the way, but at any cost, following that truth. Following that truth, absolutely. Which brings me to my next part of the sermon here, What about Jesus? What about Jesus? What about the name Jesus? Probably all heard different things. I know if you've been hearing my tapes, you know that I use the name Yeshua. And I want to talk about that a little bit here, because there are some misunderstandings about the name. There's things that people have said that may or may not be true, but I'm going to give you again, I'm going to give you the factual things right now. Number one, the first thing is, our Savior's name is Yeshua. That is our Savior's name. Yeshua means Yah is salvation. Yah is salvation. Some people use Yahshua, some people use Yeshua. From what I was told in Israel, the difference is Yahshua means Yah is salvation with an A. Yeshua with an E means he will save his people from their sins. Which is also, I don't believe either is incorrect. We primarily use Yahshua with an A. Yah is salvation because that's the name that the Bible tells us. He will come in the Father's name. And the Father's name is Yah, and his name is Yahshua. Yah is salvation. Now, what about Jesus? Why would it be wrong to use Jesus? Because isn't Jesus just the English equivalent to Yeshua? Isn't Yeshua the Hebrew way of saying it and Jesus the English way of saying it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm going to give you a little lesson here just for a couple of minutes, but it's real simple. There's two. When you go to different countries and different languages, there's two things you do. You, number one, you translate something. I'll give you an example. In Italian, the name for cheese is formaggio. You know, if I wanted some cheese on my pasta, they'd say, can I have some fromage or some formaggio? That's cheese. In English, the word is cheese. Now, if you look at the word formaggio and the word cheese, they don't even look alike, they don't sound alike, they have nothing in common. It's called a translation. You're translating the word from one language to another. Names do not get translated. Names get transliterated. Now, what is the difference? Transliterated is, my name is Donald. In Italian, my name is Donato. It's the same name, it's just pronounced different. Like the name Michael, in English is Michael, and in Hebrew it's Mishael. And I'm not that good at with the Hebrew names, but it's close to that. Like the name Miha. Miha is the Hebrew name, and Micah is the English name. Same name, but it's transliterated. The vowels sound differently, but the name stays the same. Miha and Micah is the difference. Now, the name Yeshua, is the Hebrew pronunciation of our Savior. So, to transliterate that name into English, because in English the Y would change to a J, and the A would change to an O, and the Shua would stay the same, you would have Joshua. The name Joshua, and we know Joshua, the one who Moses took after Moses, his name is Yeshua. Yeshua, it's the same name as our Savior. Yah is salvation. And if you were to use the name Joshua, I got no problem with that. Because it's the in English, you don't have to use. We don't have to say Yirmiyahu for Jeremiah. We don't have to say Eliyahu for Elijah, because we speak English. So we can use the English names. But Jesus is not the transliteration of Yeshua. Well, what is Jesus then? Where did Jesus come from? I'm going to explain it to you. Jesus came from, because in the Greek, which we know in the New Testament, which I believe most of it originally was written in Hebrew, but definitely by the 2nd and 3rd century, the New Testament was all changed into Greek. And there are manuscripts in Hebrew, original manuscripts of Matthew, the book of Hebrews, and other things. To back me up, this isn't just something I'm saying off the top of my head, that I believe the majority of the New Testament originally was written in Hebrew. But as there were less and less Jewish converts, and the gospel went to the world, and they kept changing and rewriting the scriptures over and over. That's where also the golden letters in the New Testament of YHWH and Yeshua changed, and they wanted nothing to do with the rabble of the Jews, and they changed it to the Greek names of Theos and Jesus. Now, in Greek, the transliteration of Yeshua, because again, there is no Y in Greek, so it would be I-E, is the way that they would say the Y. That's the closest they can get to a Yah, would be Ia. That would be the way the IE would sound, Ia. And the S, it would be I-E-S-O-A, Iasua, Iasua. That would be the way in Greek they would say Yahshua. Now, what's very interesting is, in the days of the Romans, okay, when the Roman Empire was becoming bigger and many people were turning to Christianity, what would happen is they would take paganism, which was their main religion, and they would blend it with Christianity and make one religion out of it. And it's very interesting that there was a pagan god of the Greeks in that day who was the Greek god of healing. Now, what was Yeshua most famous for during his ministry? Healing people. So the name of Yahshua, or Yahshua, was very close to this Greek god who happened to have the name Jesus. Because every god in the Greek language had the name Zeus at the end. If anybody has ever been in school, take a mythology, you know that Zeus is the main god, false god of the Greeks. So Diastasus would be the Greek god of wine. This Jesus was the Greek god of healing. And since Yeshua sounded very close to Jesus, they blended it together, and Yahshua, or Yeshua, became Jesus. And from Jesus, in English, the IE becomes a J, and the Zeus is Jesus. And the name J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, in Spanish, it's Jesus. It's the same thing. So Jesus, the Greek god of healing, became Jesus in English. And that's where the name became Jesus. But like you could see, Jesus is not a translation or transliteration of the name. And I know that will offend a lot of people because people use the name Jesus, but it's just not correct. And I'm not saying, believe me, I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I don't feel the need. I need to be rebaptized, because God does look at the heart in our ignorance. But if these things are very, very plain, and again, this is a matter of grammar, grammatics. It's not a matter of opinion. It's like I tell my Jehovah's Witness friend when he tries to tell me John 1:1 is a God. I said, let's go to any Greek scholar in the world and let's look in the Greek of John 1:1 and see if it can ever be translated. In the beginning was God, Elohim, and Elohim was with God, and Elohim was God. And they put in the Jehovah's Witness Bible a God. It's not possible. It's grammatically not possible. And what I've given you here is grammatic, just the way grammatic correctness. That's all it is. And the name Jesus does not come as a transliteration from the name Yeshua. It just doesn't. And another thing is this. Why would you take a name, Yeshua, transliterate it into Greek and then into English? There's no other word that you do that from. If I'm translating a word, cheese. If I say, how do you say cheese in Italian, and it's formaggio, do I say, well, how do you say it in Hebrew, or how do you say it in Greek, and then bring it to English? It doesn't work that way. You go from the Hebrew to the English. You don't go from Hebrew to Greek to English anyway. But even if you did go from Hebrew to Greek to English, it still would not come out to be. Because if you took the Ihesoa, the IE would become a J, J-O, and then the S-O-A would become the Shua, and it would still be Joshua. You'd still come up with the same name. So again, Joshua is correct as far as our Savior using that name. That's the English transliteration of Yeshua. But the word Jesus is not. The word Jesus comes from the Greek god of healing. Also, the Egyptian goddess Isis came also from Jesus. Jesus and Isis, you can see it's very similar. And because whether it was Babylon, Egypt, or Rome, all their gods and goddesses, they were all the same people. They just changed the names a little bit, but basically they were all the same god that they worked with. Let's go to Matthew 1. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament that talk about the name of our Savior. And that it is very important. Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the messenger of Yah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name is not Jesus. That's something that they put in here. And like I said, the oldest Textus Receptus Greek manuscripts show the name Yeshua. They keep the he, even though it's written in Greek, they keep the name written from Yeshua. Even once they translate it, because the original book of Matthew, and they have this, was written in Hebrew. But even once they translated into Greek, they kept the proper names of God, the Father, YHVH, and Yeshua in gold letters. And they have these. These are going all the way till maybe the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th century, maybe even later than that. And then as time went on, the Catholic Church took that out and changed it over to these names. Drop down to verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth their firstborn son, and he called his name Yeshua. That's what his name was. Matthew 28:19. This is important. Does it make a difference? Does it make a difference to use the right name or the wrong name? Well, Matthew 28 and verse 19 says, "Go thee therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, YHVH, and of the Son, Yeshua, and of the Holy Spirit." So, if we're baptizing people, we should be baptizing them not in the name of a title or the name of a pagan deity, but in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Rosh Kodesh, the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Isaiah 12. We're going to see even in the Old Testament, it says the same exact thing. Isaiah 12, starting in verse 1. And in that day you shall say, O Yah, I will praise thee. Though thou was angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah Adonai is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall we say, Praise Yah, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make a mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Yah, for he has done excellent things. He is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. And great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. That is talking about Yeshua. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah Adonai is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. What does the word Yeshua mean? Yah is salvation. That's what his name literally means. The word Jesus is, like I said, the name for the Greek God of healing. If we turn to John 5, and if you look at Jesus, the name Jesus has no connection to Yah or Yahweh. No connection to connect to the Father's name, and yet Yeshua told us he came in the Father's name. So his name has to be from the Father's name, because he came in the Father's name. John 5, verse 38. John 5 and verse 38. And you have not heard his word abiding in you. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom you have sent him. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Just like we just said, what did we just read in Isaiah? He has become our salvation. Yah is salvation. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And that's exactly what's going to happen to the Antichrist. He's going to come in his own name, and the world will receive him. Yeshua came in the name of the Father, Yahshua, and they didn't receive him. Let's go to Acts 4. And I'll read the correct translation of Acts 4, verse 10. Acts 4 and verse 10. Be it be known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yeshua Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yeshua, Yah is salvation. No other name in heaven and earth that's given. The name Jesus was not given for salvation. The name Yeshua was, is it a matter of a syllable? Nope, it's much more than that, because like I said, in a name is the character, in the name is the meaning. And the name, YHVH, exists on its own. The name Yahshua. A lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. This is the sealing during the tribulation period. The sealing that's going to protect. The power. You know the power in the blood of Yeshua? Same way, in his name, in his holiness. Not by being able to pronounce something a certain way, not by being able to put your lips together and have syllables come out in a certain manner, but by understanding what's in that name. By understanding the holiness, the reverence that goes along with it, by praising it, by giving glory to him as creator, not for me for being able to say it. That's where the power comes in the name. Revelation 3. Go back to Revelation 3. This is to the church of Philadelphia in the end time. Remember, there are seven churches. He has something against the wall except for Philadelphia, the protected one. Look what he says in verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. See, these are the true believers, the true followers. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes and they know him by name. Like I said, it's very hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't know their name. Let's go to the book of Malachi. Go to the book of Malachi, third chapter. Malachi 3, and starting in verse 13. Malachi 3, starting in verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, says Yah. Yet you say, where have we been stout against you? You have said it is vain to serve Elohim. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt Elohim are even delivered. And you know, many people are saying this today. People have turned away from obeying God's law, obeying his holy days, his Sabbath. Hey, what profit is it? I did all these things. I lost my job. Blah, 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 blah. What profit is it? And it shows the new covenant isn't in their heart. It's not written in their heart because they were only doing it to get the benefits. They weren't doing it because the love of our Father and his Son were in there. And look what he says, though, to the others, to the true remnant, to the true believers, to the ones that it is written in their heart. Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yah hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yah and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, say Yah of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and I have spared them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and him that serves him not. What did we just say? Revelation 14, the sealing, the name of the Father in the forehead. Like I said, does saying a name by itself make me more righteous? Absolutely not. But it's a matter of the heart of wanting a real relationship and wanting to know our Father's name and wanting to have a relationship with him one-on-one. And a beautiful thing that it is. And it says, like he says, that he'll spare us, you know, and we'll be like jewels to him. And we'll be able to discern between right from wrong. And that's all this is. YHWH is right. Lord is wrong. YHWH was put in there by Elohim 6,823 times. Man has taken that out 6,823 times and put in the word for Baal. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's a matter of discerning right from wrong. Which would you rather do, right or wrong? Another thing that's very interesting. Do you know all the new versions of the Bible, the NIV, the American Standard, all of the new versions? They also, in the New Testament, they take out the names of Yeshua over 1,000 times and replace it with he or him. What they're trying to do is, we all know that there's a one world government that's coming and virtually is here. The one world religion is right around the block also. And they want to make a generic Bible so that no matter who you are or what religion you are, we all believe the same thing. Just don't judge each other. Just don't judge, just don't judge, just don't judge. That's all you hear. And the word means nothing. Doesn't matter if the Father says homosexuality is an abomination to him. Oh, that doesn't matter. Just don't judge. Well, no, this word judges. The word judges. Psalm 44. Let's go to Psalm 44. Psalm 44 and verse 5. It says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. Verse 8. In Elohim we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. Drop down to verse 18. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from the way. Through you were sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us in the shadow of death. If we have forsaken the name of our Elohim or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not Elohim search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Awake thy sleep, O Yah. Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth to the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. And the reason why the name has been suppressed for so long is it's been the Father's will to do it that way. But like it said, now we're coming to the end time and he's bringing these things up. And what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? Absolutely, what are we going to do with them? Let's go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, starting in verse 5. Isaiah 52 and verse 5, it says, Now therefore, what have I here, say Yah, that my people is taken away for nothing? They that rule over them make them to howl, says Yah, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publish peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that say unto Zion, Thy Elohim reigneth. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. Here to tell you today that you no longer have to blaspheme the name of Elohim. That there is a way, it is revealed, he's brought these things out. We can use his correct name, and it is important. It is very, very important. Let's go to Malachi, back to Malachi, the first chapter, because I want to show you some accountability for blaspheming the name. Because there is accountability. Today, people want to tell you there's no accountability for nothing. You know, because, hey, we're under grace, so there's no accountability. And I can just go out and sin whatever I want to and do whatever I want, and there's no accountability. But Hebrews 10:26, if you willfully sin after the full knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins. Malachi 1, in verse 6, says, A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, where have we despised your name? See, that's the thing. When you try to tell people, you're breaking the third commandment. You're taking Yah's name in vain. Where have we done that? Where on earth have we done that? We're not doing that. Drop down to verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, says Yah of hosts. Drop down to verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male and vows and sacrifices unto Yah a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, says Yah of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Chapter 2 and verse 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, says Yah of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says Yah of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him, for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. And like I said, I brought a lot of information here today. My point of the sermon was not to get you to do something like I'm saying or get you to say something like this. It was to show you the importance and the reverence and the holiness of the Father and the Son's name. And to show you how man has changed both names. And that's 6,823 times our Father's real personal name and the Son's name, because Yeshua's name also is Yah in the Old Testament. Yah said unto my Yah, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, has been changed to the word Lord, which comes from the word Baal. And that the name Yeshua was changed in the New Testament into a poor, awful transliteration of the name Yeshua into the name of Jesus. Now, am I judging the people that use the name Jesus? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I believe that the Father has purposely blinded these people so that they don't have accountability. And I want to show you scripture why I say that. Let's go to John 12. John, the 12th chapter. Verse 39. It says, therefore, John 12 and verse 39, therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah the prophet said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. And I think the same way with the name, I think that the Father has blinded them to his true name, because if not, they would be using his name all over the place in an improper way because they don't know any better, and they would even be blaspheming it more than by not using it at all. Let's go to John 9, and I'll show you another scripture that says the same thing. John 9 and verse 39. And Yeshua said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they would see, not might see, and they would see, might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees that were with him heard these words and said unto them, are we blind also? Yeshua said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. See, I believe as long as we are in ignorance, and I think the Father keeps us in ignorance on certain things, we're not accountable for it. And that's why when we're baptized and we come into the church, everything isn't thrown on us at once. I mean, I was a Christian, or a believer rather, for maybe 13, 14 years before I knew the true name of the Creator. And I don't think that the Father was cursing me because of that. No, he was blinding me to it because I couldn't accept it then. And what I'm doing here is I'm not giving a sermon like this to condemn. I'm giving a sermon like this to enlighten. To enlighten the brethren and the called out ones to the true name of our Father. And again, I felt for a long time that my ministry is more to the remnant, to the true believers. I'm not here to give a lot of fanfare. Most of my messages aren't going to be a lot of jokes and stories. I'm going to give you the hard facts from the scriptures. But most of the people appreciate that. And the vast majority of the letters we get are positive, and the people are appreciating the messages. And I think this is a very, very spiritual and important message for many different reasons. And like I said, by far, I'm not scratching everything here. I'm scratching the surface. Study this on your own. Study all the names of the Creator. Study why he's our healer, our provider, you know, our banner. Study all these words out and see all the things that he is to us every day in our life. Because when you do, you find out he is everything to us. And another thing that I want to make sure that I mention here, because I'm just about out of time, is one thing I've seen of people that do use the sacred name is many of them, if not the majority of them, they become very self-righteous about it. Very self-righteous. And we were just recently at a congregation not too long ago at an Assemblies of Yahweh. And I was telling one of the elders there, I said, you know something? I said, I use the name Yah or Yahweh because it's right and it's correct. And I said, and I honor the Sabbath day and I keep the Sabbath because Elohim is our creator. And I want to honor him. And it's the commandments, and we need to keep the commandments. I said, but the minute I start bringing the righteousness for doing these things to me, instead of giving the glory to him for making it, then I've lost the point of it. Let me say that again. The reason I want to use the name Yah or Yahweh is to give the glory to the one who is all existent. Not that it's the glory to me by saying this word a certain way. The same with the Sabbath day. The reason why I honor the Sabbath is to give the glory to the one who created everything in 6 days. The minute I start taking glory to me for keeping the Sabbath, instead of giving the honor and the glory to him for creating it, then I become self-righteous. And this point I can't stress enough. Because the sad part of it, the majority of the people don't obey the commandments. They don't use the right name for our Father and the Son. And the small remnant that does, there's such a self-righteous attitude in there that they're losing the blessing by having that self-righteousness. Like I said again, just very, very simple. The minute you start taking the Sabbath and you start putting the righteousness to you for keeping it instead of giving the righteousness to him who created it, you're losing the whole side of it. And I'll tell you, in recent times, And every week it seems like it's more. Me and my wife have been getting more and more out of the Sabbath and out of these things than ever, because we're shedding the self from it and we're trying to give all the glory to our Father and to Yeshua. And believe me, that's why he says the time has come where we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because truth is going to give you that relationship with the Father and the Son, not error. And even though people that are in error may not be accountable by it, there's still going to be a wall there. You still can't get close to God totally in error. And that's why the truth shall set us free. I'm just going to end by going over a couple of scriptures here in the Psalms. And I'll just end on that. Psalm 33, the last three scriptures. And like I said, it's just an awesome, awesome topic. And I thank our Heavenly Father and Yeshua that He even gave me the privilege to be able to give this message today, because I think it's so important. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waits for Yah. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Yah, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. That's what it's got to be. All our hope and trust has got to be in Yah the Father and Yahshua the Son. Psalm 29. Just go back a couple pages. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2. Give unto Yah, O ye mighty. Give unto Yah glory and strength. Give unto Yah the glory due His name. Worship Yah in the beauty of His holiness. And that's the point we're trying to make. This name is holy. There's power and there's holiness that comes in it. And if we want to enter His holiness, we have to be sanctified in the things that He set us to be sanctified. By His word, not by our own. Psalm 20, the last one. The last one, and I'll end here. Psalm 20, starting in verse 1. Yah, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of Elohim of Jacob, defend thee. Again, it's the name, just like Revelation 14, 1, to defend us. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. Selah. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our Elohim we will set up our banners. Yahweh, fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that Yah saves His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of Yah our Elohim. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Yahweh, let the King hear us when we call. Praise His holy name.